It is Wednesday, January 25th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. President Donald Trump calls for an investigation into voter fraud. An anti-corruption organization says populist leaders may make conditions worse.
Media freedom has been curtailed. People can't speak out. Anti-corruption organizations can't do their work. And as a consequence, corruption is getting worse.
And a young member of the Cyrus family releases a new single. It's all ahead. U.S. President Donald Trump is calling for a major probe into voter fraud. There are also reports that his administration is preparing immigration orders to build a wall on the U.S.-Mexican border and will freeze the admission of refugees. I'm joined by VOA White House correspondent Cindy Sain. Cindy, starting with a voting probe, why is Mr. Trump calling for an investigation of the election that he won?
Well, that's a very good question, Sarah. And Mr. Trump has said several times that he actually would have won the popular vote, which we know that his Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton, won by almost some 3 million votes, had it not been for illegal, he says, some 3 to 5 million illegal votes. And apparently, he repeated this in a meeting this week at the White House with congressional leaders as president. And then he was at, his press secretary, Sean Spicer, was asked, saying, you know, if he really believes that there was such a massive voter fraud on such a massive scale, why doesn't he conduct an investigation? And Spicer first said, well, you know, the president is comfortable in his win within the Electoral College, which is what really matters. But then at a later point, when pressed again and again by reporters, he said, well, maybe we will. And then we had the president himself tweeting today that he will indeed start an investigation.
Well, what evidence is the Trump administration offering in regard to this possible fraud?
Well, so far, all that Spicer said was evidence and studies that he has seen, but they haven't given any details about, you know, what studies or what evidence that is. And we actually have U.S. election officials who have said there is no evidence for any kind of wide-scale fraud, anything anywhere near the scale that the president is alleging.
Well, have other officials, perhaps in Congress, expressed concerns about voter fraud in the last election?
No, hardly at all, Sarah. We've had some. We had independent Senator Bernie Sanders, who ran as a Democrat against Clinton, calling this belief by Trump nonsensical, saying it was a delusional statement. And he said he worries that this might be a signal to Republican governors across the country to start voter suppression programs, to take steps to further restrict voting rights, make it even harder for Americans to vote. So some Democrats are worried about that. And some Republicans have even said, House Speaker Paul Ryan said that when asked that he had seen no evidence for any kind of rampant voter fraud.
Well, in other White House news, there are reports that Mr. Trump wants to proceed with his campaign promise to build a wall on the Mexican border. Has the White House commented on this?
We don't have details on this yet, Sarah. The president is visiting the Department of Homeland Security, and but what I'm hearing is that he does actually have the authority through a bill that Congress had passed previously on border security. So that we're expecting an announcement that, as he pledged so many times during the campaign, to build a great big beautiful wall along the southern border with Mexico.
And what about plans to limit the number of refugees entering the United States?
Yes, we're hearing that as well. We're hearing that there may be a four-month freeze. Again, I don't have the official details yet. And then a longer ban on from certain countries, which are mainly majority Muslim countries, Syria, Libya, and Yemen, and some others.
Sounds like a busy time there at the White House.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Cindy. That's White House correspondent Cindy Sain. It's time now for a look at social media. Today trending is hashtag Dow 20K. That's because the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose above 20,000 for the first time in early Wednesday trading. The Dow is the best-known U.S. stock market index. Investors may have been encouraged by President Trump's promises to cut regulation and reduce taxes. President Trump himself tweeted, "Great! Hashtag Dow 20K at the White House." But at Chris J. Zullo tweeted, "Got to love how ecstatic Republicans are over hashtag Dow 20K, but when it went from 7,300 to 19,250 under at Barack Obama, nothing but anger and angst." And Saluwal tweeted, "Yay, the Dow is at 20K. Meanwhile, women's rights, environmental protections, and freedom of speech have been rendered worthless." But at Rhea Sharma 266 tweeted, "This is what happens when you have real leadership in charge of the country. Hashtag Dow 20K. Hashtag thank you, Trump." Also trending is hashtag black site. The New York Times' Charlie Savage tweets, "I got a copy of Trump draft executive order on detainees. In normal times, there'd be half a dozen front page stories here. The Trump administration is apparently considering reopening black site detention centers for torture overseas." But Fox News Politics, at Fox News Politics tweets, "White House sources, no plan to revive CIA black site prisons." And that's a look at social media. Here are some of the top news stories trending. 28 people are dead in a militant attack on a Somali hotel. North Korean defector says the regime is crumbling. The new Gambian president will return following the political crisis. And the Afghan Taliban writes an open letter to President Trump. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOANews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A trio of British scientists has found that Earth's rotation is slowing down, which is causing days to get longer. But don't worry. According to their research, our days are lengthening by only 1.8 milliseconds every century, or 1 second every roughly 55,000 years. This is considerably less than the 2.3 milliseconds that had been forecast by earlier calculations based on the tidal interaction between the Earth and the Moon. The scientists say they reached their findings by carefully analyzing ancient records of lunar eclipses and more modern accounts of lunar occultations of stars, which are occasions when the Moon comes between Earth and a star. The scientists say that unlike the previous tidal friction calculations, their research also takes into account various geophysical phenomena over the past 2,700 years. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, Miley Cyrus's younger sister has released a new single. We'll listen. The Berlin-based anti-graft watchdog Transparency International Wednesday released its annual Corruption Perceptions Index for 2016. It shows how systemic corruption, coupled with social inequality, leads to popular disenchantment, providing fertile ground for populist politicians. The index, which ranked nearly 180 countries, said most ended up below 50 on a scale of 100, ranging from highly corrupt, 0, to very clean, 100. It said more countries declined in transparency last year than improved. Researcher Finn Heinrich tells International Edition's Victor Beatty, the corruption that grips countries like Ukraine and Brazil gives rise to populist politicians who promise to change the system, but often end up weakening democratic institutions.
So, for example, Hungary and Turkey are two, I think, prime examples where you have a strongman leader who came on board to say, we're going to do away with a corrupt elite and install a government which works for the people. And if you look at the actions, they really belie those promises. Media freedom has been curtailed. People can't speak out. Anti-corruption organizations can't do their work. And as a consequence, corruption is getting worse.
Does your report come down on recommendations?
What is needed is governments really, of all stripes, I think, have to tackle corruption much more at the roots. You need much more fundamental reforms which do away between the close links between business and government, which open up all public processes, all information which is relevant to the public, to the scrutiny of citizens. And lots of work is supposed to be done in many Western democracies on that.
Well, every year, of course, you rank some 180 or so countries. What were your results this year?
So at the top, we have what some people call the usual suspects. It's the Nordic countries, Denmark, Finland, also New Zealand, Sweden, who are really characterized by transparency in the public process, engaged citizenry, a free media, an independent judiciary, and they top the ranking. On the other end, you have countries such as Somalia, South Sudan, North Korea, who are, you know, ravaged by civil war, dictatorships, where government is basically falling down and corruption is the only way for people to get by.
Are there other parts of the world that are concerned to transparency, perhaps in Asia, South Asia, or Latin America?
In Latin America, Mexico is a country which unfortunately has been deteriorating in its corruption rankings over the past years. Corruption scandals have been rife. Again, a government came on board with a strong anti-corruption agenda. They have not yet delivered. In Asia, it's a broad swath of countries. China is stagnating, even though there is a lot of government action and anti-corruption. We would argue that it's only a one-sided approach of prosecuting certain selected high-level officials. It needs to be accompanied by much more fundamental reforms, which make citizen voice much more heard in the public process.
Vanheinrich said, however, some governments are working to lessen the effects of corruption. He cited Georgia, the United Kingdom, and Greece as examples. But he says such fights are long-term and need political will because, in the end, corruption is all about power. European leaders were left shaken following U.S. President Donald Trump's recent comments that NATO is obsolete. The organization has formed the bedrock of Europe's security since World War II, but some EU leaders say Europe must now take responsibility for its own defense. As Henry Ridgewell reports, the continent would face a huge deficit in military capability if the NATO alliance broke down.
German troops making final preparations for their deployment to Lithuania, part of NATO's 4,000-troop reinforcement in the Baltic states and Poland. The deployment is meant to reassure frontline states, but US President Donald Trump's recent comments that NATO is obsolete have shaken European allies. Wolfgang Ischinger is head of the Munich Security Conference, an annual global summit on defense due to take place next month.
In addition to the crises we had last year, Ukraine, Syria, the South China Seas, North Korea, etc., now we appear to have almost panic in the transatlantic space. Is NATO obsolete or not? Is the European Union something which the US can or should ignore, or is the EU America's most important partner?
German Chancellor Angela Merkel has said Europe now has its fate in its own hands. But Jonathan Eyle of Britain's Royal United Services Institute says it will take a dramatic shift in EU policy to make up for any rupture in the US alliance.
While there is a lot of discussion about closer cooperation in the European Union, there simply is no substitute for American military power. Up to 75% of all the military assets in NATO belong to the United States.
Currently, Germany, along with several other European NATO allies, spend far less on defence than the 2% of GDP they pledged to spend in 2014. Jonathan Eyle.
There is a commitment in Germany to increase defence expenditure, but we are far off. And especially in an election year in Germany, we will remain far off any chance of a major boost in defence expenditure.
Core members, including France, Germany, Spain and Italy, want closer EU military and intelligence cooperation, a move backed by the bloc's foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini.
First of all, it means that Europeans have started to take seriously their security. We've started to do this well before the UK referendum, well before the US elections, because security is a priority for Europeans.
Britain has blocked efforts towards building an EU military alliance, fearing it could undermine NATO. But with Britain set to leave the bloc within the next few years, the calls for a European Union military force could grow louder. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
This is International Edition. A new single has been released by a member of a well-known musical family. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me to tell us all about it.
Today's topic is the latest member of the Cyrus family to make it into the music world with her debut song, which is called Make Me Cry. And it features a British DJ, producer, songwriter, singer named Labyrinth, whose real name is Tim McKenzie. He's recorded with Tiny Tempa and Emily Sandé, but Noah Cyrus is on the scene. She's the youngest of the Cyrus siblings. Miley, of course, the most famous, is her older sister, and her dad, Billy Ray Cyrus. Everybody knows Achy Breaky Heart. Well, now Noah, at age 17, is coming out with her new album, and, you know, ironically enough, it's called NC-17. She'll be releasing it this year. And she's a very, very talented young girl and no stranger to show business. In fact, she's danced along with her sister on her sister's tour. She's made a guest appearance on Miley's Hannah Montana show when it was on Disney years ago. And in the last year, there was an animated film that came out called Ponyo, which was a Japanese story. And Noah Cyrus was the voice of Ponyo in that film, and also contributed some music. But for today, we're listening to a brand new debut song from Noah Cyrus, and this is called Make Me Cry.
I never needed you like I do right now. I never needed you like I do right now.
I never hated you.
Okay, now Larry, you mentioned NC-17. For some of our listeners overseas, what does that mean?
It's a rating for films in the United States. They have a PG, they have G, and NC-17 is one of those ratings that does not allow anyone who's under the age of 17 in to see a film, much in the same way that a R film used to do the same thing. But it's a film rating. But in this instance, I don't think that, and I haven't heard the whole album. All I've heard is the first song, Make Me Cry, from Noah Cyrus. I don't think that her album is inappropriate, because usually they make that a parental discretion kind of warning on a CD. They don't call it NC-17, but it just happens that, you know, Noah Cyrus are her initials, and she's 17 years old.
Yeah.
As of January 8th, so she just turned 17, and her sister Miley threw her a big birthday party. And by the way, Noah is a PETA activist, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, very much involved with PETA, a couple of causes that are near and dear to her. First of all, she disapproves of horse-drawn carriages in New York City, which has become an issue in the news in the last couple of years, and she's one of those activists who's very much against it. And also, she doesn't like the use of animals for high school lab experiments for dissecting, so she's opposed to that, and a vocal outspoken person in that particular issue. The new song, Make Me Cry, debuted at number 6 in Norway. I'm not sure what her connection to Norway is, and the rest of the world has it anywhere from 20 to 88 on the charts as it's just come out. It's brand new. The album is expected out this year, the album NC-17, which we talked about. And Noah, very talented, as I mentioned, and very much a veteran in the music business at the tender age of 17. She's new in music, following in the path of her sister, her famous sister Miley. But she's been in films like Ponyo, as I mentioned. She was in Hannah Montana, the movie, Miley Cyrus's film in 2009. She's been on TV shows like Doc and The Hugo and Rita Show and Take Two, most recently in 2014. So I suspect we're going to be hearing a lot from Noah Cyrus in the days and years ahead.
Oh, it sounds like it. Okay, thanks a lot, Larry. That's VOA's Larry London. He's the host of Border Crossings.
Give you up about 21 times.
Felt those lips tell me 21 lies.
Yeah! You'll be the death of me.
Sage advice.
Love. Love.
And that is the music of Noah Cyrus, and that's from her latest single, Make Me Cry. And that is our show for today. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On August 21, 2013, Syrian government forces fired rockets containing the chemical weapon sarin at two rebel-controlled areas of Ghouta, a suburb of Damascus, killing hundreds of people and injuring thousands more. Amid the global outrage that followed, and despite vehement denials of responsibility for the attack, the Syrian regime accepted the Kerry Lavrov framework, joined the Chemical Weapons Convention, and relinquished its declared stockpiles of chemical weapons. Nobody was held accountable for the deaths and terrible injuries of thousands of Syrians in Ghouta, nor have any persons been held accountable for the chemical weapons attacks that have continued since the Ghouta incidents. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, United Nations Joint Investigative Mechanism, had been established by the UN Security Council to investigate incidents of already confirmed chemical weapons attacks in Syria, and mandated to make attributions for a number of confirmed or likely chemical weapons attacks. In August and October of last year, it issued reports determining that the Syrian regime, specifically the Syrian Arab Armed Forces, used chemicals as weapons against the Syrian people in three separate incidents in 2014 and 2015. For this reason, the United States government has imposed new sanctions on Syria. On January 12th, the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control designated 18 senior officials connected to Syria's weapons of mass destruction program. The U.S. Department of State also designated the Organization for Technological Industries, or OTI, under Executive Order 13382, a sanctions authority from 2005 aimed at freezing the assets of OTI, which belongs to the Syrian Ministry of Defense, is involved in furthering Syria's WMD-capable ballistic missile program, and has been producing components for missile built by the Syrian Scientific Studies and Research Center, the key entity responsible for Syria's WMD and missile program that was previously designated in 2004. As a result of this action, all assets of these individuals and companies that are under the jurisdiction of the United States are frozen, and U.S. persons are prohibited from engaging in transactions with them. the Syrian regime's use of chemical weapons against its own people is a heinous act that violates the longstanding global norm against the production and use of chemical weapons, said Acting Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence Adam Zubin. Today's action is a critical part of the international community's effort to hold the Syrian regime accountable for violating the Chemical Weapons Convention and UN Security Council Resolution 2118.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.